Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is December 11th, 2019, and it is a Wednesday. This is a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, the chapter Into Action. We are on paragraph 1 on page 75. When we decided who will hear our story, ending with honored by our confidence. Reading and commenting on one paragraph only today. Today's readers are Lorraine N. for the 12 steps, Karen B. for the 12 traditions, Leah S., Leslie W., and Pam M. We also have Leah S. doing some newcomers and Leslie W. doing some announcements after we stop our recording in about 50 minutes. The reference for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday for Tuesday, December 10th, is 13793. That's 13793. And that's the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, December 11th, is 13799. That's 13799. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose: carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I'll now ask Lorraine M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Lorraine N. in Oregon. Very grateful to be on the line this morning. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine N. And I will now ask Karen B. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Karen B. in Camas, Utah. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority: a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those who they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Karen B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask to keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the direction in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then pressing star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter Into Action on page 75, and we're reading and commenting on the first paragraph, When We Decided. And I will ask Leah F. to please begin reading.
Thank you so much, Elaine. This is Leah S. on the little bit of snow in Brooklyn, New York. Very grateful. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. I'd like to share. We finished our... First of all, I'm into the chapter of Into Action. I finished my inventory. I wrote down everything on paper. And now I'm about to meet my sponsor. I had traveled to the Upper West Side to my sponsor, and it was getting more and more scary to get everything face-to-face. Not only did we do this face-to-face, she reassured me, and she lighted a candle and suggested that I do the same. She also asked me about my religion, if it was against my religion to do so. She was very kind and as I began to get the confidence to open up about everything about myself, the confidence grew, which is something that I didn't even expect, but it did. It grew and it grew, and the trust grew, and it became like a sort of, I started feeling that I'm really, really unloading, and there is something that is happening to me. I couldn't explain it. After that, my sponsor told me it was a spiritual experience. But that's exactly what it was. As I started to say this, the load off my chest was much easier, and it was very freeing. And I understood also why I had to do this, because at some point in my life, I might come across situations that might lead me back to what I was eating about in the first place. And this is what we're trying to avoid, to stay stopped and to live with healthy boundaries. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Leah S. Who else would like to comment on this first paragraph on page 75 today?
This is Charles H.
Charles H.
Stacy J.
Stacy J.
Pam M.
Has a question.
Pam M. We don't have questions on this phone meeting. That's the 8 a.m. question, the 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting only.
Thank you.
Ricky M. And did I hear a C or a B?
Denise B.
Let me tell you who I have so far. I have room for one more. Charles H., Stacy P., Cam M., I believe, Ricky M., and Denise B. One more?
Penny L.C.
We'll round this out. Thank you so much. So Charles H., you're up first, and you'll be followed by Stacy P. Please go ahead, Charles.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You hold a special place in my heart. You're a very loving person. I could tell that you're filled with God's love. This is Charles H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I want to drill down where it says he should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. As was said on the earlier meetings, this is definitely a warning point. And this mirrors to me, you know, as a recovered person, page 84, continue. You know, like most people, selfish, self-centered. I didn't see the benefits of, I would hit you with, well, God already knows, God's working on me, and all that stuff. But here is it's humbling. And here's the religious, what Ebby talked about on page 9, a simple religious idea. This confessing to another human being is so humbling. Something breaks when someone else knows about me. Yeah, I could say God, the God of my overstanding already knows, but God uses people like me and you, broken people, to help other broken people. So that broken person that I told I gave my fifth step to, he was helped as well. You know, and I got a sponsor today that says, you know what? Go tell somebody face to face. And I did it, and it was amazing. It was amazing. Someone else knows all about me. And in closing, it's a humbling experience. So tomorrow we're going to learn about those seven fifth-step promises located on page 75. I wonder if those numbers got something to do with it. But, you know, we begin to have a spiritual experience. It's fleeting because it leaves me at 12:01 a.m., and I got to repeat, wash, and rinse all over again. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, too, Charles. That's your comrades also. Stacy P., I believe it is. You're up next, followed by Pam M., I believe it is, and I could be wrong. So please correct me if I am.
Thanks so much for your service. It's actually Stacy J., a recovered compulsive reader in Toronto.
Thank you.
I did this recently. I now have about 86 days of abstinence and have completed the 12 steps, which is all miraculous. And I have to say that even having done this years ago and then sort of failed to work the program and develop and enhance my spiritual relationship with my higher power. Now going through this, it was a startling experience to write down the inventory. And the, my long talk with my sponsor, which actually I think we arranged, probably we talked like four times across the course of a week or maybe a bit more to give away what I had written. And it was, my sponsor told me just enough to assure me that our experiences were similar enough. Like, my sponsor developed my trust that here was another compulsive overeater who had hidden from the world the way I had with food, and who had, you know, been dishonest and had had resentments and fears and was another human being, you know, because my food addiction, it isolates me from everyone so that I think I'm the only one who eats this way. I'm the only one who harbors these resentments for decades. I'm the only one, you know, who has these fears. And so my sponsor held all of this sharing and gave me little bits to say, I'm like you. And it was such a moving experience. And I agree, what's already been shared is exactly what I experienced of trust developing and also coming out of the darkness with all of this. And so I'm so grateful because I believe my sponsor was honored by the confidence, and I was honored that someone would be so patient and listen to every last, resentment and harm and fear and not judge me and reassure me that I am one of my fellows and I am not isolated and I am not so broken and bad that I cannot have this recovery. So I'm so, so grateful for this. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Stacey J. Okay, Pam M., I believe it is, and you'll be followed by Ricky M.
You believe correctly. It is Pam M. from the Adirondack Mountains in upstate New York. Thank you, Vision family, for being here this morning. So, you know, we are truly blessed to have a strong program of recovery for our Vision meeting. Most of us don't have to search far and wide for trustworthy ear. And the book was written way before we had the technology that we have today. My sponsor gave me 2 weeks to set out on my fourth step and I had to ask for an extension because even though I wrote for 30 minutes a day, I needed another week to get all my resentment, fear, and sex conduct out on paper. And, you know, God bless her because it must have taken a month of daily talks to get it all out of me as I gave it all away to her and to my higher power. And as I told my story of anger, frustration, fear, and how I played a role in all of it, I began to see the insanity, hearing my own voice saying over and over again that I was selfish because I wanted my own way or that I was dishonest because I wasn't being considerate of other people's feelings and that I was afraid I would be left all alone in this world. It helped me to see my false identity. I wasn't perfect. And the whole world knew it. I could stop pretending. Oh, it was great. And I may have fooled others for a while. I certainly never fooled God. I was the last one to find out and admit that I was flawed. And this fifth step was a life and death errand because before I did it, the second time, may I add, because the first time I wasn't entirely abstinent, this time that I did it entirely abstinent, freed me because I wasn't truly living. I was living some lie of who I thought I should be instead of being who I am. My sponsor listened to me. She did not judge me. She did, however, keep encouraging me to take responsibility for my actions. And without her continuously turning me back towards my role and all of my pain, I would not have had the spiritual awakening that I am now experiencing. So, and for her and for God, I am internally grateful. And I know she's probably listening. So, mwah, kisses to you. So, namaste and love. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Pam.
Alrighty, Ricky M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Denise B.
Hi, this is DM from Pennsylvania.
Hello.
So I wanted to, what jumped out at me was that what a big responsibility it is to be that sponsor, to listen to somebody's fifth step. And I've been in programs before, and I've gone through the steps, and I was never able to be a sponsor because I was afraid. I was afraid of being that person that someone's going to come to and, you know, give their fourth step to. And I couldn't stay in recovery. I've had flips. I've had, you know, I've not been able to maintain recovery. And this time around, I'm making an effort to learn the steps, work the steps so I can give it over, to be that person. You know, the insecurities will pile up. Well, I'm so young and I have all these problems, and why would anyone trust me? But as a fellow addict, we all understand each other. And, you know, I'm put in this world with my struggles to understand other people with their struggles. So the gift of this program, and I'm actually at step four waiting. You know, I'm just finished, and I'm going right into now, and I'm really looking forward to giving it over to my sponsor. I think also when you choose a sponsor, you know, having that ability to, having that understanding, is it somebody that you're going to trust and be able to be comfortable giving it over to? And I was given that gift to be able to find that right sponsor who I felt safe with from the start, as we started working the steps. So now I'm really, I feel like my higher power is with me in this, and it will be okay. The last time I did these steps, there was so much that came out. My sponsor was able to see a personality that I didn't realize, that I was an empath, and that was getting in the way of my being the best person I can be, even though it's a great gift. It's a shortcoming, and I was able to ask God to help me with that. And this time, you know, having done the steps a couple times, there's that gift of there's certain people that are not on the list anymore, and that's a huge gift. But this time I really hope to be able to get through all the steps and be able to sponsor somebody else and give them that gift. And I know that's the way we can, you know, by being of service and being there for others and, you know, listening to their fourth step and helping them through is really what keeps us in recovery. Thank you so much. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Ricky. Denise B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Penny L.C., and after her, we'll take some more people to comment on the first paragraph on page 75. Please go ahead, Denise.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Denise B., gratefully recovered from New York. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. I had never done a 12-step program when I came into the room, but for sure, when I saw step four and five, and then step nine, I was kind of like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that. But luckily, I was in so much pain from being in the food that I was like, I'm just going to worry about it when I get to it. And I got really lucky, as other people are kind of echoing, is that the person who I was lucky enough to have sponsor me was super cool and, you know, had said to me actually that she was honored. You know, I don't know if she took it from this paragraph or not, but said, you know, she was honored to be able to take this fifth step and you know, listen to what I had to say. And like logically, I remember I didn't really understand how doing all this would work, but Era had really had tried everything else to get out of the food and none of that was working. So I kind of was like, okay, I'm just going to go for it. And it's like I always, when I sponsor now and I talk to sponsees, I always say, God, it's like the fourth and the fifth step, like that's where all the magic happened for me. Like once I was able to have this, you know, it was like a 3-hour conversation with someone about all this stuff that was actually blocking me from having any kind of a relationship with a higher power and blocking me from happiness, keeping me in the food. Once I was able to do that, I remember the next day I just woke up and I just felt like, just so light and just so bright and just so happy. And I just hadn't felt that way in so long. Like I just, even though I had great things in my life, I hadn't felt, it was like a weight just came off of me from talking with somebody else. So you know, I would assume, similar to me, there's other people who really fear this step and telling somebody else, you know, and we've all done all these quote-unquote awful things, but we're all human, and the person on the other line or in front of you, there's no judgment because they've also felt bad about things they've done in their life, but the relief that it gives you to tell someone this stuff and to look at it, you know, it's not just telling a friend, it's like they're looking at it from the aspect of, okay, what was your part and what's going on here and what's been your part in your life? It just relieves such a burden off of you. And then we really don't have to eat anymore or whatever the addiction is. That was a game changer for me. And I just hope people hang in there and, you know, do this step as good as they can because it will change you. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Denise B. Okay, so after Penny LC, we will take another lineup on this first paragraph on page 75. Please go ahead, Penny LC.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And when I reflect on this paragraph, I can start out by asking myself, why do I need to do my fifth step? And this is, and I can go back and hear that reminder that how free do I want to be? Do I want to, if I want to remain free from the obsession, I need to do everything that I have instructions to do in this big book. So if for no other reason, then that's enough of a reason. But also just to trust the process. And I remember thinking, my fifth step was done over the phone. Remember thinking, focus it on in terms of a conference call. It's not just to myself and my sponsor, but there also my higher power was on the call and listening. And even though I know that my higher power knows everything about me, I understood that there was a need for me to tell my higher power all about me and to make sure that I was being open and honest in admitting everything about myself, to God, and to my witness of a sponsor. And this allowed me to open my heart and in doing so to feel closer to God, to my higher power. And as I mentioned, you know, my sponsor was a witness, and I was able to share all of myself, knowing she had done the same process. And this also helped me to trust the process. I saw her recovery and how she walked with a free spirit in close contact with her higher power. And these were all things that I could look forward to if I was willing to just take this step. Not easy, but the gifts on the other side were going to bless me, and I just trusted that process, and it has unfolded, as we'll hear about the promises do unfold. So it's a very much a very spiritual process to go through, and I was grateful to have done it and done it several times now, and each time felt more free. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny Elsie. It's a powerful paragraph. Who would like to comment on it?
Laura W.
Oops, heard a few names, but didn't get any of them.
Laura W.
Laura
Maria
W.
C.
Who is that, C?
Maria.
Maria C. Okay.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn T.
Kathy D.
Kathy D.
B.
I heard a B.
Kate B.
Kate B.
Yeah.
Okay, and one more? Thank you. One more? Okay, well, let's...
Reggio.
Reggio. Okay, excellent. Thank you so much. So I've got Laura W., Marie C., Marilyn T., Kathy D., Katie B., and Reggie O. Please go ahead and get us started, Laura W.
Good morning, Elaine. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thanks. Yes. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. This is such a powerful paragraph because I don't know about anybody else, but in my disease, I was very dishonest, very sneaky. I was a liar. I was a cheater. And this step, this fifth step, takes all that away. This fifth step, you know, really gave me the opportunity to be humble and honest for the first time in my life, really, completely honest with another person. And it was very scary for me because I didn't like looking to anybody that I had faults. You know, I looked good on the outside, and the inside I was falling apart. And that's how I live my life. And today it's very freeing to surrender that, to be humble, to be human. And my sponsor was the first person, actually she's still my current sponsor 15 years later. When I did this fifth step for the first time 15 years ago, she was there. We sat face to face after an OA meeting, and she listened for probably 2 hours to my fifth step, and I've done a number of them since then. And you know, I can't stress enough not only the importance of it, but the gratitude I feel when it's done. You know, it's, and she felt the same way. It says most people approached in this way will be glad to help. I feel that way when I take a fifth, and she felt that way when I gave her my fifth. You know, we waste no time, it says. There's always a sense of urgency in this book to keep moving forward. You know, the only place that it tells us to stop is between, you know, is after this step. It tells us to stop just for an hour, but to make sure we're thorough. But this is really something that that I try to remember each day when I have to do a 10th step, when I need to make a call to my sponsor, you know, to get rid of this stuff, to uncover it, discover, discard, they always say, and to live a free life. Because truthfully, you know, I feel peaceful when I discard this stuff that's been holding me back, not just from other people, but especially from God. And the whole point of this whole process for me, it's not abstinence, it's not weight, it's peace. And when I feel peace, I can stay connected to God and be useful to others. And this step is a huge part of that. So I encourage you to keep moving forward. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura W. Maria C., you're up next, followed by Marilyn T.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Elaine. This is Maria C., compulsive overeater in California. I really appreciate everyone's share this morning. This is what I really need to hear. This is my fourth time in coming back to OA, and I've never done a fifth step, never done a fourth step, never had a sponsor. I am 11 weeks food abstinent now, admitting I'm powerless, but also white knuckling at times, I'll admit. Still don't have a sponsor, and I appreciate what everyone is sharing here about the fifth step. I don't think I'm terminally unique. I understand the purpose for it, and I understand that it's humbling. And I don't think that anything that I would have to confess would be any worse than anyone else has done. I haven't done anything that would land me in jail. I just, from the time I was a baby, anything I said could and would be used against me, and that is what's holding me up. I have this hitch that I just can't get past that. I learned as a child to hold everything back, to just curl up in a ball and not admit to anything, because it would come back to me and be used against me in a very vicious way. And I'm praying on this. I know I've been thinking of ways to get around this, to not do a fifth step and still achieve serenity to get through this program. I've thought of perverse ways to do it, like doing my fifth step to my mother-in-law who has dementia, or doing it online through an anonymous browser. I it's just such a deep-seated issue with me, and I understand what this is about. I'm not thinking that I'm better than everyone, that I don't need to do it. It's just something I can't see my way to doing right now, and I'm praying on it. And anyway, I appreciate all of you being here, and thank you again for your service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Marilyn T. Makes me think of that first paragraph on page 100. Kathy D., you're up next, and you're followed by Katie B.
This is Marilyn T. I haven't spoken yet. I was
there. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I think we had a little mix-up there. So, all right. Now, I guess if everybody keeps it just a little short, we'll be able to fit everybody in. So, Kathy D., could you hold on? And Marilyn T., please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks
so
much.
I was the third, and the other lady was the first, second. My name is Marilyn T. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater who just actually did finish my fourth step on the day after Thanksgiving. And I'll just be real quick. And what I want to say is I was at conference also. And the one thing that I really got out of all of this was that I can either die of my resentments, or I can recover in spite of them. I can also carry the message and be the message of this program of OA through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It doesn't matter what you've suffered, no matter what tragedies, you can recover. And I have was very grateful to have found a fantastic sponsor who, when I did actually pick up last July, took me back. We went through it again. Here we are again. But what's interesting is I really do not believe it is odd. It is God. I don't think I totally got the message the first time. I don't think I totally practiced all the principles and all their affairs. And this time it's a much needed and necessary. And I really think my higher power knew that some things were it was going to be life and death, and I was going to need that extra measure of doing it again. There's nothing wrong with it, and if you haven't done it, I encourage it. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Marilyn T. I so appreciate that. Okay, Kathy D., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Kate B.
Hi, it's Kathy D. in Colorado Springs, recovered compulsive overeater. So I am just at the end of working through the steps entirely abstinent, and while I have worked the steps many other times before, I did have a 10-year recovery period and program some time ago. This fifth step was completely different than anything I've ever done before, and it's funny because I had put out the word, hey, I'd like someone to take me through the steps quickly this time around. I want to get done with it. Quick. But as it turns out, I have spent a great deal more time than my plans were on this set of steps, and especially my fourth and fifth step. Honestly, I never thought they would get done. Because as I was doing my fourth step, I would talk to my sponsor and she'd say, well, you know, I think you need to look at it from this angle too. So when we sat down, I found it to be very interactive. It was not me just reading for 4 hours and then being done. That wasn't it at all. My sponsor told me beforehand that I was to be hard on myself and easy on others. If somebody had done 90% of the wrong and I had only done 10% of the wrong, then that 10% is what I would focus on. as we went through each resentment, I had to drill down to find out what my part was. So it wasn't something like, oh, my part is I haven't accepted my husband's faults. No, that was very passive. It was, I demand my husband act a certain way to make me happy, or I make a demand here, or I make a demand here. And she even told me, you should feel like you kind of have your tail between your legs when you do your fifth step. And I did. I was able to, and when I say hard on myself, it's not like beating myself up. It's just being starkly honest, stark honesty. And then at the end of it, she asked me my deepest, darkest secret. And I'm like, oh gosh, crap. I don't want to have to tell that. And I did. And it was not, no one died. My disease really hates it when I'm honest about my innermost life. But I told her, and it was true that when I came home, the fifth step promises came true. I could look the world in the eye. I was building that solid arch through which I would walk to freedom. And I'm finding as I continue to trudge step 10 and continue to set right wrongs, I am amazed at God, that God has graced me this level of honesty through working the steps entirely abstinent. It's just been a miracle. So that's really all I have to say this morning. Thanks for letting me share. Kathy B. in Colorado.
Thank you, Kathy B. in Colorado. And now Kate B. is up next, and she'll be followed by Reggie O.
Hi, this is Kate B. from Minnesota. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I just felt really called to share with this paragraph. First of all, thank you for all the work and service everyone's doing for this meeting. I'm so grateful to have this meeting available and to be able to hear it live today. I just recently finished my fourth and fifth step a couple weeks ago, and I had a completely new experience. This is the third time through the steps for me. I have relapsed, and with each relapse, I have had new experiences in going through the steps, and I am just ever so grateful for them. And this time, I just wanted to share what that was for me. And, you know, when I look at the fifth step, admit it to God and to ourselves and to another human being, I never took that so literally as I did this time. And I finished my fourth step ready and raring to go with my fifth on a Saturday, but my sponsor and I couldn't get together until Friday. I thought, what am I going to do all week long? You know, God, what is the purpose? I feel like everything is God's timing, and I couldn't figure out what the purpose was to have to wait for almost a week. And here, and in some meditation, God revealed to me I needed to come to Him, and I needed to say this out loud with Him, and this time allowed me to prepare to do that. I was given the opportunity to have some time alone where I read everything out loud to God. I admitted when I was angry at God for different things that I've gone through, and I have a faith. I came into program with a faith, and I never felt like I could ever be angry at God because God is for me. He's not, doesn't do things to me, and that's just my belief, but I felt that I could be honest about that and be honest about the anger that I really had, and I could let that go, and that was between God and I, you know, my higher power and I. And I was given the gift to be able to go through that before I was able to meet with my sponsor. You know, the other thing that comes to me about the fifth step is the principle of integrity. And what a beautiful principle that is, because when I finished my fifth step this time, I felt free. I felt empowered because I was so surrendered. And I felt the integrity that I could hold my head high. I'm not judged. I'm not judged by anyone. And I am only supported and loved. And that is an amazing sense of serenity and peace. And for that, I'm grateful. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kate B. And Reggie O., you'll be our final share for today.
Good morning, Elaine. Thanks so much for your service. Great to hear you and everybody this morning. And this is Reggio. I'm very grateful to recovered in the Los Angeles area. And what really stood out for me in this paragraph, I'll start, is he should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. And when I looked at that, I thought, I mean, I've done multiple the steps over the years, and every one of them has been with my sponsor, but for one, and that was with a religious person that a sponsor had suggested that I go to. It was just what they did, sponsor and religious person, and I don't know that I would do that again. It was very different doing it, you know, with sponsors, but that, and so everybody that I do these with, they know that I'm engaged in the same errand that they've already done. And I don't have to do that. But what stood out for me was that I realize that I do this, and every time I do this, and then every time I follow, you know, in my life, having learned how to do this with a 10th step, that I am engaged upon a life and death errand. And I, you know, I don't think there's hardly been a time that I've gone into a fifth step that I wasn't concerned about. Oh my gosh, you know, I would always have a sponsor that I thought so highly of, and, you know, thought they were terrific, and what will they think of me, and oh my gosh, can I let them know this about me? But you know, if I don't know, I'll probably do other fifth steps. I'll certainly do more 10th steps, but it's really important for me to realize that that's what I'm about. I'm engaged upon a life and death errand. And, you know, and for me, the death fear has not so much been physical. It's always been spiritual, you know, that I would, and I have not lived fully spiritually alive when I'm carrying around, you know, this kind of baggage, but, my life, you know, my aliveness, my spiritual life, is dependent upon this, you know, how free the people mentioned the word this morning, freedom and peace. And, oh my gosh, it's just like so amazing, you know, and just to repeat some of the things, to be able to walk in the world, not hiding anything from anyone. Doesn't mean I have to tell everyone everything, but I can, today I have a way of not hiding anything from anyone. And this step is so much a part of it. And because it sets the foundation for how I go about doing that, being free. And I'm not judged for anything, whatever I've done. And it's just quite amazing. And I also love the emphasis, it's God and it's another human being. Both of those are so significant, you know, and I love the idea of it's a conference. So I'm just really appreciative that every time there's always a deeper place to go, and we get to grow every time. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Reggie O. And, you know, we have time if anybody has a burning desire for a two-minute share. Please press star 1 to unmute and let me know if you'd like to. Anyone want to take this 2 minutes?
Franny Kay.
Franny Kay. Please go ahead. Good 2 minutes. Thank you.
Good morning. I think my higher power just said try it. Because, you know, there's a nanosecond delay in all these unmuting. But I just want to say I am trudging the road of happy destiny, and I can't thank this program enough for giving me a lifeline. I'm a chronic relapser. I did go to the Vision Conference, which was amazing. My favorite parts were the doctor's opinion little mini session in the evening about complete abstinence, and then the meditation in the morning. And I've brought so many tools back, and by golly, I am using the tools. And I did a step 10 turnaround yesterday, which I've done some, but I'm more consistent. And I will say that there is an element of willpower involved in this, because it's my willpower that's helping me pick up the tools and work the program the way I'm told to do what I'm told. And my stubbornness, which has kept me in my disease and kept me picking up for 5 years, almost 6 years, even though I've been to treatment twice for a month at a time, is my hardheadedness. This characteristic of mine has also kept me in the program. And I just want to say I'm so grateful. I'm not at step 4 and 5 this go around yet. I have done it before, but just want to give thanks and a happy hump day and season to every single one of you. Like Russ says, I love you. Bye. Over. Thank you.
Thank you, Franny Kay. Okay. Thank you, everybody who shared. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Leslie W. please read A Vision for You?
I will. This is Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee.
We know our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happiness. Trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.